You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everybody. Well, if they were voting in Asia this morning rather than just investing, Henry Paulson, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, would be President of the United States. The weekend announcement by Paulson that the U.S. government plans to bail out mortgage lenders Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac is having an extraordinarily positive impact on Asian markets. Japan's Nikkei surged more than 3%, Britain's FTSE and France's CAC are up about 4%. Asian markets are also up, and U.S. stock futures point to a huge rally on Monday. One notable exception are stocks in China. The Shanghai Composite Index is down on heavy losses in property developers, refiners, and airlines, but major banks in China rose on the housing news in the U.S. Joining me now is Peter Stein, Hong Kong Bureau Chief for the Wall Street Journal. Peter, thanks for joining us, and it seems like Asian markets were looking for some good news, and boy, they sure got it.
Yeah, that's exactly right, John. As you noted, across the board, shares rose with the exception of China. And this is largely because people see this announcement over the weekend of the U.S. bailout for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac as removing a cloud of uncertainty over the financial system and over financial shares out here, which are tied to the fate of the U.S. financial system as well.
Well, we've talked a little bit about the giant numbers involved in this bailout deal, but just a more basic question, is it really the case that the global financial market depends on the price of strip malls and McMansions in Las Vegas?
Well, everything is definitely interrelated. For instance, about one-fifth of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's debt is held by foreign investors, and a large chunk of that is held in Asia by central banks, by government-backed institutions, by big banks in Japan, Korea. So concerns about whether that debt might be at risk are definitely something that would weigh on stock prices in this part of the world. And more generally, people are worried about the overall health of the financial system. If stock markets continue to plunge in the U.S., if credit remains tight in the U.S., that means that people are also not going to be investing in markets out here.
Peter, I'm going to ask you a technical question and, interrupt me if I kind of get it wrong here. But it seems that on one level, the fact that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are guaranteed ostensibly by the U.S. government, now they're actually taken over by the U.S. government, but the securities of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were attractive in that they have a U.S. government backing, but they have a higher spread, a higher interest yield than, say, Treasury securities, which are much more conservative. It seems to me that the motivation for China and Asia to buy these securities is that they're kind of guaranteed a premium spread, a higher interest rate, a better yield. Is this bailout a message to Asia that we're going to guarantee that you can still get that premium spread, even though the risk is almost the same now?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, it's definitely true that the perception in the market has been that this debt is government guaranteed in some sense. Even though Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were ostensibly private companies, there was no explicit guarantee. There was always an implicit understanding that behind these institutions, the U.S. government was standing at the ready to intervene if something happened. And lo and behold, that's exactly what they've done. They've proven everybody right. So all the institutions that have been holding this debt and with the confidence that this was really as good as holding U.S. Treasury debt now have been proven right. The question is if it essentially is now explicitly U.S. government-backed debt, will the premium remain as high? It's possible that you might see a narrowing of those spreads.
Right. Well, that's really interesting. Peter Stein, Hong Kong Bureau Chief for the Wall Street Journal, thanks for sorting that out for us. Peter Stein is Hong Kong Bureau Chief for the Wall Street Journal, talking about the bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Asian stock markets reacting very, very positively to that. But Congress is back in session, back in Washington, and they'll be digesting this Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac bailout along with a lot of other things. 2 weeks ago, the conventions began, and the Democrats were absorbed with new jobs programs and sustainable energy programs, while the Republicans in St. Paul were focused on offshore drilling spending and all kinds of other sort of tax reductions. So now that Congress is back in session, Todd Zwillick from Capital News Connection, is that what's on the agenda? Lower taxes, more drilling, and sustainable energy and jobs programs?
No, yes. Yes and no, I guess, if I was going to answer all those in order.
You're beautiful, Todd. You're beautiful.
I don't know if taxes don't appear to be on the agenda. We've got 3 weeks to go here before the big election crush for members of Congress. So they're getting ready to legislate for another 3 weeks here. And before we say anything, we have to warn everybody that however you view Congress for the next 3 weeks, you must view it through the eyes of Barack Obama and John McCain, because this is almost all election all the time. Almost everything they do is going to be about politics.
Well, does that mean lawmakers are motivated to actually pass something that would represent what was talked about at the convention, or is it going to be much more symbolic?
Not necessarily. I mean, in some cases, they may be motivated to pass something on energy. In fact, they may in fact be motivated to pass something. In other ways, it depends on whether they want a solution or whether they want the issue, and only they can decide in their private meetings whether it's more to their benefit to cooperate and pass something or not cooperate and blame the other side for not passing something. This is really how they think. So it's all about, because this is the last thing they'll do before the election, this is all about advantage, and it's wherever the advantage is. So energy, you asked about energy, and that is going to be on the agenda, and it looks like there is some motivation to try to get something done here.
Now, you talked about oil drilling as possibly being an issue over which the government might shut down. Is that more or less likely now?
It's unclear. There was a small group of compromisers back in July. They were called the Gas Gang or the Gang of Ten, and what they were 10 senators, 5 Republicans and 5 Democrats, who were trying to come up with some compromise to bridge Republican and Democratic leaders who were really far apart on this. Over August, while everybody was conventioneering, that group grew to something around 15 or 16, and the larger that compromise group gets, the more pressure there is on leaders to actually reach an agreement, because if that middle group holds together, they can sway the Senate, withhold their votes, and say, we're only going to vote for compromises. So Harry Reid is the Democratic leader, and he's seen this group grow. While the conventions were going on, he sent a group of senators back, and they're now working on some compromise legislation that does have some drilling in it, that would allow some drilling. The question is now, next week we'll probably see the details. We haven't seen any details yet. Can he get all of his Democrats to vote for this compromise? And then it depends on whether the Republicans, like we said before, do they actually want to sign on to some modified drilling thing that gives Democrats a victory or gives them a compromise? Or do they want to say not good enough, half measures, and have the issue to as a cudgel against Democrats in the election? Which do they think will help them more?
Well, let's look at the hodgepodge as an insight into what the Democrats' priority is. Okay, say there is a bill that has some drilling in it, which Democrats have traditionally opposed. What else is going to be in that bill that might reflect some more traditional Democratic Party priorities on energy?
Right. Well, there would have to be some give and take. So you would be almost guaranteed to see some pretty hefty renewable energy tax credits. You have to think about these things also in terms of what has Barack Obama talked about on the campaign trail, because his party controls the Senate and controls the House, and they want to see him elected. So everything that they do is going to be in the furtherance of his election aspirations. So you would see pretty hefty renewable energy credits or renewable energy investments in there. You would almost certainly see something cracking down on the oil companies. Now, the Republicans have put their foot down against, you know, repealing tax breaks for big oil or windfall profits taxes, things like that. But it's unlikely that the Democrats are not going to come up with a bill that says, yes, offshore drilling, you win, with nothing on their side. You know, you're going to have to see something that's very much, you know, behind Barack Obama's energy agenda.
Really quickly, we're going to talk about California's fiscal woes in just a moment. Yes or no, any suggestion that the next bailout by the feds might be California?
Oh, I haven't heard anything about that. Now, there is a
stimulant. That's a no. But yeah. Then let me get to the final question.
Sure.
This must be just a moment of pure joy for Joe Lieberman, Senator Joe Lieberman, coming back to Congress.
Yeah.
A lot of people want to have lunch with him, right? A lot of Democrats, probably.
Of course, what you're talking about is that he gave a pretty strong speech at the Republican National Convention. Yeah, he's in a bit of trouble with his Democratic colleagues. They always said it's okay if Joe Lieberman wants to support a Republican. It's
all
another
right,
thing if he criticizes
so
Obama.
So the takeaway is drill, maybe drill, and Joe Lieberman's in trouble. Todd Zwillick from Capital News Connection. Thanks, buddy.
Yep, my pleasure.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.